Hello, and welcome to Between the Lines, a podcast that asks thought leaders and industry experts to share their insights about the trends and controversies that are shaping the pharmaceutical industry in Canada. My name is Brittany Humphreys, and I'm your host for the show. Thank you for joining me for this first episode of Between the Lines. It's safe to say that there has been an unprecedented amount of change occurring in the reimbursement landscape for prescription drugs over recent years. And among all these changes is one common theme: concern about healthcare expenditures amid a shift in reimbursement towards more high-cost specialty products. Advancements in technology over the last two decades have led to breakthroughs in personalized medicine, drugs for rare diseases, and gene therapies. While these drugs have the potential to offer remarkable health benefits, they also come with a remarkably high price tag. In response to growing concerns about affordability and the sustainability of healthcare systems, attention has turned to drug prices as a means to manage expenditures. On today's episode, we will explore one of the more controversial aspects of the drug pricing issue in Canada, which is the forthcoming regulatory changes to patented drug pricing. In Canada, the Patented Medicines Prices Review Board, otherwise known as the PMPRB, is a regulatory agency created in 1987 to protect Canadian consumers from paying excessive drug prices. Now, the PMPRB does not set drug prices. Rather, it determines the maximum price at which a patented medicine can be sold in Canada. Given the entry of many high-cost drugs in recent years, many have called into question the effectiveness of the PMPRB in fulfilling its regulatory mandate. As a result, Health Canada and the PMPRB are in the process of implementing the most significant reforms to patented drug price regulation in PMPRB history. Lower drug prices seem like they would be a good thing for Canadians, but a number of stakeholder groups, including patient advocacy groups such as the Canadian Organization for Rare Disorders, have stepped forward to voice their concerns. Today's guest will explain why the proposed changes are so problematic. I'm excited to introduce my colleague, Kimberly Robinson, as our expert for today's episode. Kimberly is the Director of Pricing and Market Access at PDCI Market Access, Canada's leading pricing and reimbursement consultancy. Prior to joining PDCI, she was the founder and principal consultant at PharmaCare. To avoid confusion, that's PharmaCare spelt with a K. Kimberly also spent 18 years at Janssen, where she gained expertise in all aspects of market access, including HTA strategy development, health economics and outcomes research, government and stakeholder relations, and strategic pricing. Kimberly, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Brittany.
So in 2017, the Canadian Minister of Health announced the forthcoming regulatory change, indicating the government's policy to substantially reduce drug prices in Canada. And while the regulations provide the framework, the guidelines, which operationalize the regulations, were essential to understand the true effects the reforms will have on patented drug prices in Canada. You've been at the forefront of drug pricing and PMPRB regulations for your entire career. When the guidelines were finally published in November 2019, what was your first reaction?
You know, it's interesting because, as you said, we were expecting the guidelines for quite some time, and there'd been an extended period of discussion around what the changes would be. And when I first saw the guidelines, my overwhelming reaction was dread. We knew that the basics of the guidelines were going to be problematic for industry, but I think that the implementation of these draft guidelines is going to be effectively impossible for patentees and is going to unfortunately have a negative impact on access for patients. Drugs just aren't going to come to Canada, or they're going to come to Canada much later. And the really worrying thing is, if drugs aren't going to come to Canada, that means that clinical trials won't come to Canada either.
What makes the implementation impossible in your view?
There are just many aspects of the guidelines that don't take into consideration the intricacies of the pharmaceutical industry. They've been developed in the absence of real input from people who work in the business of pharmaceuticals. And there's lots of reasons that you won't be able to comply, or at least not easily. For example, rebated prices are going to be have an upper limit under the new guidelines. It's difficult to see how the timing of that will work, given, you know, the timing of when the rebates will be set, when they'll be set as an upper limit, and when it becomes possible for manufacturers to actually provide those rebates and to who they can provide them. And, you know, the people who developed them just didn't ask those questions about the system before they came up with this draft.
So a lot of the practical issues implementation. Absolutely. You know, these changes were long anticipated, essentially since the October 2015 throne speech committed to drug pricing reform as a necessary step before PharmaCare. What do these changes, aside from the difficulties in implementation, tell us about the PMPRB and its role and how it will operate going forward?
Well, it's interesting. I was listening to you record the introduction and talk about what the role of PMPRB is and how they're not a price setter, and what they're supposed to do is guard against excessive pricing. With these new guidelines, they are setting a hard upper limit on list prices. They're imposing a limit on rebated prices, and they're extending into revenue control. So it's not just about, they're no longer looking at excessiveness. They're talking about the lower of lower prices, the lower limit, rather than, you know, is it below a ceiling? They're also implementing revenue controls, which is just so far beyond the scope of a price regulator.
And that's something I struggled with when we talk about scope. The PMPRB in its mandate says it's to protect Canadian consumers. And it seems like these policy changes are going to benefit certain stakeholders more than others. Who is the Canadian consumer that the PMPRB is protecting with these guidelines?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I mean, the biggest beneficiaries of the changes will be the public payers. Now, you can argue that that is the Canadian consumer because drug programs are funded by the taxpayer. There will be some benefit that will accrue to private payers because of the international price referencing that's anticipated to actually reduce the price of existing medicines. The problem is that taken together as a package, the impact is likely to lead to fewer medicines coming to Canada or medicines coming to Canada later. So you can talk all you want about current costs and reducing the impact of rising prices for new therapies. But if you never get those therapies, there's a negative health impact to that for the consumer, for the patient.
And do these changes affect a certain category of drugs more than others? Or is it just all universally and equally bad?
Well, it is going to have a bigger impact on what they call high priority drugs. So drugs that would have a high annual cost or have a big market. So it's sort of two sides of it. If there's widespread demand for a product, its revenues would be high and there would be an impact. But for medicines that are innovative or first in class, it's going to be very, very difficult for those to come to Canada. You know, we've worked with some clients who have medicines in their pipelines, and although we can't predict with certainty what will happen based on analogs, we're looking at prices sometimes in the range of, you know, 90 to 95%. And if that's the impact of the guidelines, those medicines aren't going to be filed with Health Canada, let alone, you know, launched and available to Canadians.
Kind of building on that, you know, the guidelines haven't gone into effect yet.
No.
We're told July 2020. But when you talk about launches and access, some people, you know, have said that the effects are already being experienced by Canadians. Can you expand a bit about that?
Sure. We have conversation with clients every day about whether they're going to be able to bring medicines to Canada, specific medicines, usually the more innovative ones, mm-hmm. in the face of the uncertainty that's imposed by these guidelines. I was told by a client recently that they had a Health Canada file ready to go and decided not to file the product with Health Canada, mm-hmm. an actual real delay. because they were just too uncertain about the outcome of the price review. Life Sciences Ontario has done a survey of CEOs of pharmaceutical companies asking them about the impact of the guidelines on their decision making. And they heard all these same things that we've heard from our clients. Unfortunately, that's seen as anecdotal evidence. So it's hard to show concretely that, you know, you're making decisions not to bring drugs to Canada. And unfortunately, I think we're going to have to actually see it in action before it's going to be accepted as a fact.
I know manufacturers are very concerned. Have you talked to any patient groups to get a sense of, you know, their understanding of the guidelines and the potential impact on the groups that they're representing?
Certainly, anyone who's involved in the rare disease space understands that this is going to have a crippling impact on launches of new drugs for rare diseases. They already struggle with the current system. And if you take the parts of the system that don't work well for rare disease drugs and you expand those into the pricing realm, you're not going to see them come. And patients understand that. Unfortunately, it's only the very educated patients. The soundbite that's delivered to the average Canadian about, you know, saving money on the price of drugs, it sounds like nothing but good. So it's hard to unpack the details of this and really get your mind around how low prices could be a bad thing. But fact is, it could end up being a very bad thing for Canadian patients.
So what will, you know, 2020 look like for industry as the next steps unfold in this reform? What do we expect from the PMPRB industry and patient groups as we get more experience with the guidelines, what they will look like and how they will go in practice?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm an optimist, but if I'm optimistic, we'll see a situation where the PMPRB staff take the time to establish technical working groups with members of industry and come up with a way to implement the regulation changes, which are already going to take effect on July 1st. They have the force of law now, but their implementation date is just July 1st. There's got to be a compromise position to meet the requirements of those regulations without reducing access for patients to medicines. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that those conversations will take place between now and July 1st, or that the implementation of the guidelines will be delayed to allow for a proper consultation.
And like you said, like it or not, this is going through. Are there better ways that the PMPRB could achieve its mandate than the current proposed guidelines that we're looking at?
I think there are. I've spent quite a lot of time in the last several months thinking about this, and even just since the guidelines came out in November. And it seems to me that there are all sorts of ways that you could adjust the proposal to meet the requirements of the regulations, but also provide for prices that would be more certain for manufacturers and allow them to plan to come to Canada in a timely fashion.
So to end the discussion, I would just like to ask you one final question. It's the one we like to end all our podcast interviews with, and it's, why are you passionate about this issue?
It's a good question. It's a kind of a geeky thing to be passionate about, and I am very passionate about it. I mean, I said when the guidelines came out, my reaction was dread, and it was a real personal, physical feeling of dread. I've been doing this since 1996 to some extent. So it's my entire career, and I expect it will be my career until I decide to exit the workforce. So there's that piece of it. But also, my husband has Parkinson's disease. And anybody who knows anything about Parkinson's disease knows that there's a huge unmet need. So the notion that the next great or the first great Parkinson's medication might not come to Canada, it might not be recruiting patients for clinical trials in Canada, it might be delayed coming to Canada, you know, that hits home for me. So, and if we think about it, we're all patients and or caregivers. So it's a very personal change.
Thank you, Kimberly, for bringing a human perspective to what can seem to be a very complicated and bureaucratic pricing issue. That brings us to the conclusion of today's episode of Between the Lines. Thanks for listening, and thank you again to Kimberly for joining me today. Join us next time as we discuss the changing private payer landscape. Until then, subscribe to the Target Pharma newsletter by emailing targetpharma@pdci.ca to keep up to date with the latest news in Canadian pharma. Today's podcast was brought to you by PDCI Market Access, Canada's leading pricing and reimbursement consultancy.